Humble Hero, Chapter 76, How Judas Lost His Soul. The history of Judas presents the sad ending of a life that could have been honored by God. If Judas had died before his last journey to Jerusalem, he would have been thought of as worthy a place among the 12, one who would be greatly missed. The abhorrence that followed him through the centuries would not have existed. But his character was revealed to the world as a warning to all who would betray sacred trusts. Since the feast at the house of Simon, Judas had had opportunity to reflect on the deed he had agreed to perform. But his decision was unchanged. He sold the Lord of glory for the price of a slave. By his nature, Judas had a strong love for money, but he had not always been corrupt enough to do something like this. He had nurtured the spirit of greed until it had become stronger than his love for Christ. Through one vice, he gave himself to Satan, who would drive him to any lengths in sin. Judas had joined the disciples when the crowds were following Christ. He witnessed the Savior's mighty works in healing the sick, casting out devils, and raising the dead. He recognized the teaching of Jesus as superior to everything that he had ever heard. He felt a desire to be changed in character, and he hoped to experience this through connecting himself with Jesus. The Savior did not reject Judas. He gave him a place among the 12 and granted him power to heal the sick and cast out devils. But Judas did not surrender himself fully to Christ. He did not give up his worldly ambition or his love of money. He did not allow God to shape his life, but cultivated a frame of mind to criticize and accuse. Judas had great influence over the disciples. He had a high opinion of his own qualifications, and he considered his fellow disciples as greatly inferior to himself. Judas told himself with satisfaction that the church would often come into embarrassment if it were not for his ability as a manager. In his own estimation, he was an honor to the cause, and this is how he always presented himself. Christ placed him where he would have opportunity to see and correct his weakness of character, but Judas indulged his desire for money. The small amounts that came into his hands were a continual temptation. When he did some small service for Christ, he paid himself out of this meager fund. In his own eyes, these false reasons excused his action, but in God's sight, he was a thief. Judas had marked out a course of actions that he expected Christ to follow. He had planned that Jesus would deliver John the Baptist from prison, but John remained there and was beheaded. And Jesus, instead of avenging John's death, went away into a country location. Judas wanted more aggressive warfare. He thought that if only Jesus would not prevent the disciples from carrying out their schemes, the work would be more successful. He saw Jesus leave the Jewish leaders' challenge unanswered when they demanded that he show them a sign from heaven. Judas's heart was open to disbelief, and the enemy provided thoughts of rebellion. Why did Jesus predict trial and persecution for himself and his disciples? Were Judas's hopes for a high place in the kingdom to be disappointed? Working against Christ. Judas was always advancing the idea that Christ would reign as king in Jerusalem. At the miracle of the loaves, it was Judas who started up the project to take Christ by force and make him king. His hopes were high, his disappointment bitter. Christ's message concerning the bread of life was the turning point. Judas saw Christ offering spiritual rather than worldly good. He thought he could see that Jesus would have no honor and could grant no high position to his followers. He determined not to unite himself so closely to Christ that he could not draw away. He would watch, and he did watch. From that time, he expressed doubts that confused the disciples. He introduced controversies and texts of Scripture that had no connection with the truths Christ was presenting. These texts, separated from their context, perplexed the disciples and increased the discouragement pressing in on them. Yet Judas appeared honorable and upright. So in a very religious and apparently wise way, he was attaching a meaning to Jesus' words that he had not conveyed. Judas's suggestions were constantly stirring up ambitious desire for higher positions and honors. The argument over who should be greatest was generally started by Judas. When Jesus presented the condition of discipleship to the rich young ruler, Judas thought that he had made a mistake. Such men as this ruler would help finance Christ's cause. Judas thought that he personally could suggest many plans to benefit the little church. In these things, he thought he was wiser than Christ. Judas's last opportunity to repent. In everything that Christ said to his disciples, there was something with which Judas in his heart disagreed. Under his influence, the leaven of discord was doing its work. Jesus saw that Satan was opening up a channel through which to influence the other disciples. Yet Judas made no outward complaint until the feast in Simon's house. When Mary anointed the Savior's feet, Judas showed his covetous attitude. When Jesus reproved him, wounded pride and desire for revenge broke down the barriers. This will be the experience of everyone who persists in tampering with sin. But Judas was not yet completely hardened. Even after he had twice committed himself to betray the Savior, he had opportunity to repent. At the Passover supper, Jesus tenderly included Judas when he ministered to the disciples. But Judas did not respond to love's last appeal. The feet that Jesus had washed went out to do the betrayer's work. Judas reasoned that if Jesus was supposed to be crucified, the event must happen. His act would not change the result. If Jesus was not supposed to die, Judas's betrayal would only force him to deliver himself. He decided that he had made a sharp bargain in betraying his Lord. Judas did not, however, believe that Christ would permit himself to be arrested. In betraying him, Judas intended to teach him a lesson. He wanted to make the Savior careful to treat him with due respect from then on. Often, when the scribes and Pharisees had picked up stones to throw at him, he had made his escape. Since he had escaped so many traps, he certainly would not allow himself to be taken. Judas decided to put the matter to the test. If Jesus really was the Messiah, the people would proclaim him king. Judas would have the credit for having placed the king on David's throne, and this would secure the first position for him, next to Christ, in the new kingdom. In the garden, Judas said to the leaders of the mob, "Hold him fast, securely." Matthew chapter 26, verse 48, KJV. He fully believed that Christ would escape. Then if they blamed him, he could say, "Did I not tell you to hold him fast?" In amazement, Judas saw the Savior allow himself to be led away. At every movement, he looked for him to surprise his enemies by appearing before them as the Son of God. But as hour after hour went by, a terrible fear came to the traitor that he had sold his master to his death. As the trial came to a close, Judas could no longer endure his guilty conscience. Suddenly, a hoarse voice rang through the hall. "He is innocent! Spare him! O Caiaphas!" The tall form of Judas pressed through the startled crowd. His face was pale, and sweat stood on his forehead. Rushing to the judgment throne, he threw down in front of the high priest the pieces of silver that had been the price of his Lord's betrayal. Grasping Caiaphas's robe, he begged him to release Jesus. Caiaphas angrily shook him off, but he did not know what to say. The treachery of the priests was plain to everyone. They had bribed the disciple to betray his master. "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But the high priest, regaining his composure, answered, "What is that to us? You see to it." Matthew chapter 27, verse 4. The priests had been willing to make Judas their tool, but they despised his low character. Judas's agony of remorse. Judas now threw himself at Jesus' feet, acknowledging him to be the Son of God and begging him to deliver himself. The Savior knew that Judas felt no deep, heartbreaking grief that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God. Yet he spoke no word of condemnation. He looked at Judas with pity and said, "For this hour I came into the world." With amazement, the assembly saw the patience of Christ toward his betrayer. This man was more than mortal. But why did he not free himself and defeat his accusers? His pleadings in vain. Judas rushed from the hall, exclaiming, "It is too late! It is too late!" He felt that he could not live to see Jesus crucified, and in despair, he went out and hanged himself. Later that day, the crowd that was leading Jesus to the place of crucifixion saw the body of Judas at the foot of a dead tree. His weight had broken the cord by which he had hanged himself. Dogs were now devouring his mangled body. Divine punishment seemed already to be coming on those who were guilty of the blood of Jesus.